Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, I love that crowd. Thanks for warming up by Nighthawk. And a warm-up crowd. Wonderful. It's wonderful. Welcome to Players Cave on WZZR, coming to you from Australia for Revolution Radio on revolution.radio. It's home to fresh ideas. Well, lukewarm ideas or warmed up ideas. You know, we're like the leftovers of ideas. Not true. There's a lot of cool ideas here. Defrosted. Conversations in the chat room. What was that?
Defrosted ideas.
Conversations in the chat room are good, usually. So come on in there if you can. It's pretty good stuff. The station is not actually sponsored by anybody. So if you like what you hear, if you like the content of this show, other shows, why not donate? Any kind of currency, including crypto, while it's still around. Are we foreshadowing again? Maybe we are. But you can't donate. That's okay. Certainly after today's rate rises yet again a quarter point up, 25 basis points up.
Wave your arm, hurt a boy.
Because people can still afford food.
That's right.
They can still afford food. I want to talk about that in a second. But tell your friends and family, and then maybe one of those good folk can donate. Today is the 6th of June, believe it or not.
All day.
2023. It's very close to D-Day celebrations. That's right. D-Day celebrations. That was quite something. Talk about that maybe as well when it comes to it. You can catch The Cave on air, online, and on your smart device. You grab an app to listen anywhere. And there's so many apps now. It's just nuts. Mm-hmm. Just nuts. Or listen at home on a great table of digital radio. You can also listen on YouTube. Or go to the archives if you're catching this maybe afterwards. You know, I don't know. Wherever you're catching this from, there are many ways to listen to us. Many, many, many ways. Wonderful. Including radio stations. Mm-hmm. We are broadcasting in Kentucky. It's a terrestrial station. But you know what? You can also use the archives, which are free. Free! Another reason to donate. Or tell your friends and family. Either way, works for me. Just as long as this platform keeps existing into the future. And no, we are not ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. We're still not people. Yet. We're still sitting in the crisis bunker in upstate Maryland. Pretending to be in Australia, which is, as we all know, it's not a real place. No. Come on, Australia. Really? Kangaroos? Huh? Place Platypus. Names like Woi Woi? Come on. What?
Wagga Wagga? Woi Woi?
You got to come up with better material. Scone, then. Seriously, right? Anyway, before we start broadcasting at you in anger, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which we broadcast. And for Dave,
it's the Darkinjung people.
Thank you, sir. And for myself, it's the Darug people. And we'd like to pay our respects to elders, past, present, and future at this point. Thank you very much. Australia is not a real place. We all know that. Come on, seriously. Really? Australia? What? A country that's also a continent? Really?
Got too many letters in it anyway.
And it's so close to the Antarctic wall that goes around the world, right? That's what happened. Why? I don't know where to go with that. Dave, how's your, couple days been since I spoke to you?
Yeah, that's right. We can reminisce now. It's been so long. I'm gonna say one thing. I'm gonna name one person. Well, it's actually two people. Ross Coulthard and David Gross. Now, if you don't know who they are, Ross Coulthard is an Australian journalist who's been doing UFO investigations. Now, are you ready? David Gross. I hope you're sitting down. Good morning to everyone, by the way, in Kentucky. I'm just going to say David Gross is, was the advisor to the president, and he was the highest cleared, like top secret kind of cleared, person that had access to all of the deep black programs or the unacknowledged programs, and has been interviewed. It's gone live to TV, and the news stations and a New York Post did an article on it immediately, and it is that the U.S. has crash craft. There were crash recovery teams. They have existing reverse engineered and the parts of the crashed craft. Some crashed whole, some crashed into bits. That aliens are real. These are non-human built machines. Just going to say this right now. Say it right here. I stole that bit. If you're anyone but Darren Hinch, you stole my bit. So just saying it right here, right now, as Mecky and I have said in the past, again, disclosure's come and gone. This level of disclosure now, with even more footage, the radar footage from the ships that were surrounded by those triangle-shaped night vision drones. There's now radar footage filmed at the console. There is this, like, remember the first person to talk about Area 51 and crashed UFOs and recovery, and remember the sports model? Well, oh, yeah. Bob Lazar. Now, this guy, he's actually fully credited, not lying, was given permission by the Defense Department to talk about these publicly. All of the information that he says in the interview has been cleared by the U.S. Defense Department. Everything I've already stated. And coming from him, I don't know, it was a 45-minute interview. I can't do that on the show, but paraphrasing him, like I've said, I'm not going to repeat it, disclosures happened. And now these extra little steps they're taking is to reconfirm the fact. And by the way, this clearly comes off the heels of that wet sock NASA declaration to the public. Oh, we'll have a look at it. Yeah, we'll take a look, you see. And we're not talking historically. So anything new, we're going to take a look. But there's no evidence at all that proves anything about anything. And they just got a panel of wood ducks to who haven't got any exposure to it to be plausible deniability, to agree that they've got no evidence, they don't know anything, we're just a bunch of scientists. Okay, good for you. Good for you. That's like the participation award, Mackie. That's the participation award in disclosure.
We've raised the generation of nincompoops. Well, having said that...
Yep, go ahead.
No, I saw this, and I was duly interested in the content. Having said that, though, and this goes back to something we've been saying all along, right? Everything we see and hear, everything, not a portion, not some percentage, but everything we see and hear in the media is there for us to see and hear. What that means is that somebody wants us to see and hear it.
My
spidey senses are tingling right now.
Yes.
I'll give you an example here. The COVID, the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic that we just went through, there was talk about, or maybe it leaked from a lab, maybe it didn't, but the point is, that information came out. So somebody wanted us to know that and speculate on it, right? AI. Oh, no, we're not going to sign any of it. Oh, no. And now, oh, no, we're all signing it.
Hang on a minute.
Let's regulate now. And I recently, yesterday and today, I spoke to representatives from two very large technology companies. It's part of my job. It's what I do. And I asked them, well, what about this? Right? What about AI? What about this whole thing? And one guy, he's a fairly senior guy.
He was packing all his stuff on his desk and running to
Mars. I said, what? Who? He was wearing a t-shirt. I love the AI.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah, I love the AI. Yeah. So he gets it on camera now. That's good.
And he said that ship has sailed. He said, AI is in all of our products.
That's right.
It's in Microsoft. So I wasn't speaking to one of the Microsoft reps, out here, but it's in all the Microsoft products. These are primitive versions of AI, sure enough. It's everywhere. It's unstoppable now because it's been commercialized to the nth degree. Now, the more advanced AIs may not have been as commercially available as all of that quite yet, but very hard to put that stopper into the bottle after you shove the AI back in. Okay, so and so when I'm hearing, Tic Tac happened over 10 years ago, the actual encounter. Right, over 10 years. And we didn't really hear about it until, relatively recently. But now, and I consume a lot of media. It's part of what I do for this. Dave does the same thing. We look at different media. He looks at YouTube, I guess, a lot. I don't know. I look elsewhere as well. I look at torrents. I look everywhere, right? And I consume a lot.
Multiple news platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Without saying. Mm-hmm. So I consume a lot of media. We both do. And there's a trend that has come in the media landscape, let's call it, which is a lot of fairly detailed and sometimes first eyewitness statements around close encounters, UFOs, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's any strange phenomenon, not just UFO and UAP, but other things as well. And revisiting of old cases and talking to primary witnesses. I'll give you a simple example. Do you remember Arizona? There was what's the city? It's the tip of my tongue. There was a huge
Phoenix craft.
Phoenix. It was there for hours. Massive. Mm-hmm. It was like they said, it was a mile across. That's how big it was, right?
Yeah.
And thousands of people saw it. Now, the I think it was the mayor.
He made a fool of everybody.
He turned it into a joke, and he brought an alien. His assistant dressed like in an alien silver spacesuit. Yeah. We got the culprit. He handcuffed him. Ha 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 ha. And then he goes, you know what? This proves you're entirely too serious. Ha ha ha. Now they had him on the show.
No, later, this
year.
Yeah, that's right. Where
this
he did
years
what?
After.
What did he do?
Well, he said he saw it. He saw it.
He said he's sorry.
He's sorry for what he did. He wished he could go back and undo it. He saw it himself.
Yeah.
But he was afraid for his political career. essentially.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
a guy in England. Sorry, this is actually Scotland, and the name of the little town, it's like 10,000 people, escapes me. But it's essentially it's UFO Central for Scotland, mm-hmm. okay? And there's a councilman who's been trying to get it on the agenda because they have literally thousands of sightings a year. Thousands of mm-hmm. sightings a year, okay? And everybody has them, and they all go to him as the councilman, and he tries to go to – and Scotland is still part of England, so he goes to London. He tries to get a race in Parliament, and the representative for his district goes, I can't do that. It's a political suicide. But my point here is this, right? So this information is coming through now. Now, you have to ask yourself why that is. This is not because someone benevolent all of a sudden decided to level with us. This is not because, oh, we can no longer lie.
It's not voluntary. It's not voluntary.
Because
it's planned.
It's 100% planned. Mm-hmm. Look, if we assume for a second, let's make an assumption that the UFO phenomenon is real. Let's just say that. Okay, sure. We know it is, but let's just say that. And it has always been real. Because if it was real today, it would have been real 10 years ago, 1,000 years ago, whenever. Right, so they have been lying for us for the better part of, let's call it, 70 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm counting from World War II.
That's right.
Now, the lying started much, much earlier than that, but it wasn't as organized. So ask yourself this then. This is where it gets interesting. What happened that made all of this information become all of a sudden so readily available? And mm-hmm. I want to throw one more thing in here. The Skinwalker Ranch, which to me is really a prime example of what's happening right now. So the Skinwalker phenomenon started in anger for the white people about 100 and something years ago, when it was a farmstead. Okay, so people lived there and it wasn't quite right. they left and other people moved in, tried to raise some cattle, and things just went sideways. And then in the 90s, Ed Bigelow, I think it is, he purchases the farm, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yep.
And he sits there for 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. Now, when we started this show, I knew about Skinwalker Ranch 12 years ago, but I had no idea where it was. The location of Skinwalker Ranch was not disclosed. That happened relatively recently. Nobody knew where Skinwalker Ranch was. We knew it was in the States, but that was pretty much it. Okay? Nobody knew. So Bigelow shared exactly nothing with anyone publicly. Nothing. Zero.
Mm.
For 20 years. And he had scientists there, and he's a billionaire.
And so remember what he built? He built...
Oh, no. He's an aerospace engineer.
Well, and what's the logo?
Oh, it's, absolutely.
It's the gray alien head.
Yeah, that's right. So to be clear, he also had government support. So it was Endis or NIST, sorry, NIST,
mm-hmm.
Was actually there to work. So he worked with the government to study the Skinwalker phenomenon. Now, very little has come out as by way of information out of his time. Now, though, and remember, all of these things are happening now in the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
Another, not a billionaire, but a wealthy citizen of Utah, Mr. Fugle, Brendan Fugle, bought the ranch off Bigelow. Now, if I'm a billionaire and I've got a whole bunch of scientists and government support and I've got money behind me, I'm not going to sell anything until I'm done with it.
That's right.
I'm not going to sell anything until I'm done. After 20 years, if I have really found nothing after 20 years, okay, I'll call it quits. So two possibilities. Yeah. One, mm-hmm. he actually didn't get anything, right? Okay, that's over there. Or he did get what he wanted, mm-hmm. or some of what he wanted, or all of what he wanted. And then he said, you know what? I've squeezed all the goodness out of it. So you go on there. I'm going to sell it now to this guy. He seems to be interested.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And going even further, I know this is terrible, but maybe this is all of this is part of the same campaign to now disseminate what they like us to believe. Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be. Whatever comes out of this sausage machine at the end, and I'm sorry, but I'm skeptical, right? Whatever comes out of the sausage machine here, that's what they want us to have in the hot dog. So this is your hot dog. Now you go eat it. Now shut up. Okay? So I wonder, Dave. I wonder.
Well, I've got something for you.
Go.
This is what I've been pondering today since I saw, I witnessed the Ross Coulthard interview with David Grass. I hope you remember those names so you can look it up. The David Grass statements were pre-approved by the U.S. Defense Department. Just remember that. How could that be important, Dave, you might ask? Wow, gee, just how? What does the Defense Department do, I wonder? Do they build roads? No. Maybe they're involved with aviation. No. Oh, I know. They're the Treasury. No. Do they spend a lot of money? Yeah, they do that. But what's their primary function? Oh, that's right. It's defense. Right. So on the planet right now, who would be the greatest threat to the U.S. Defense Department? Oh, I don't know. Some people call it a nation state, but I'll be quiet. So if you had an enemy, once again, Mickey, I'm putting it out there. If you had an enemy that, well, you know, decided they might want to engage you in some kind of conflict, let's just tell everybody that we've got reverse engineered technology that could win any war, right? Yeah. How about that? Let's just do that. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Get some patsy to get on the you know, out there in the media and well, we're telling them what to say. It's all approved. Every word and every part of that is that the context, the sentiment, yeah, the delivery of that information, the actual information itself, and then the subtext about what would that mean to tell the world. And look, it comes off the back of the wood duck saying that nothing's real and there's no evidence, and then suddenly, hello, right? What? This is yet again another disclosure. So we had, remember the National Press Club disclosure of whenever that was, 2011 or whatever, I didn't really care anymore, because nothing happened. And that was when, you know, aliens that's already visiting here, they're walking down the street, you know, NASA covers up photos of technology it finds on the moon, blah, 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 all those things. But bring it back to here. Bring it back to right now, right here, right now. What would be the most ideal threat to counter? Wow, I don't know. Not Russia. They're useless, apparently. Allegedly. No, actually, I think there's enough evidence that a court would agree with me that Russia was entirely useless militarily. Who would then be the next threat? I don't know, China? Nation state? Great. Would they like it if we did this? No. Let's just say we did. I don't know. It's kind of moon landing all over again. I'm not being skeptical so much as to the data behind the release, because I believe they've always had this. It's one of those, well, duh, moments. I have always believed they had captured alien craft. They've reverse engineered it. And none of this surprised me at all. Hearing it again and hearing it in the mainstream media, that was a bit new. Because the last time we saw a disclosure of this magnitude, I suppose, they attempted to discredit the poor chap.
Yeah, but Dave, there's, you know what's funny though?
What's that?
So when was this? When did the interview happen?
It happened. It was released yesterday.
When did the?
In the week prior.
There's nothing on any of the major news channels at all. Zero.
Yeah, so I think if you Google David Gruss, G-R-U-S-S.
David, yeah. G-R-A-S-S?
G-R-U-S-S.
A-U, okay. Grouse.
So I get nothing. In Google, I get nothing. Doesn't matter who I, what I do. If I type UFO at the end, or UAP, I'll do UAP, and suddenly, out of nowhere, no, I have a Huffington Post. I'll just copy it and I'll paste it both into the chat. I'll do it in the chat room first for everybody. I'll do it into our chat so you can see it too. But I had to type UAP at the end, otherwise the 20 pages of Google showed nothing. So the Huffington Post, there it is. A whistleblower who served in the U.S. military in several high blah, 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 and has now spilled the beans, and here we go. Whistleblower makes it sound like it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
So CNN aren't running the story. Huffington Post is. BBC are still holding on to the NASA stuff. Yeah.
Again, I'm with Dave on the fact that I think that these craft, that some of these craft at least, have fallen into various government's hands. I believe the Nazis found craft as well.
Yep.
And I believe they found them in places very unlikely to find these kinds of craft. Now, I'm not saying it's an alien craft or whatever, or dimension. I have no idea. I don't know who's piloting this. I don't know where they're coming from. I have no idea. What I am convinced of that certain entities and agencies on this planet have found them, taken possession of them, accessed them, and maybe even been able to reverse engineer some of the tech that they found therein. And
possibly even work with the occupants or their origin occupants. Their species, maybe.
Again, as we have pointed out before, though, this is important and critical to understand.
Mm-hmm.
The craft, as they present themselves to us, and have for thousands of years, pretty much, don't seem to have changed much. Mm. They don't have to advance technologically, right? So these craft, or whatever they are, have been sighted in our history for a very long time indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been much of a change. And there hasn't been any change at all.
Mm-hmm.
And more.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back thousands of years with this.
Yeah.
Now, this can mean two things, potentially, right? The most likely that come to my mind, I'm sure other people can come up with other explanations. Number one, they all come from the same place in time to visit different time periods here. Okay, number one, because if they come from the same time period where they're from, then of course they wouldn't change. They're just coming from there.
And this is coming from a species of bipeds. This is us who release a new changed part of a car and sell it as a brand new device. Right. That's right.
Yeah. Or they are completely stagnant. And somewhat more far-fetched.
For those? Yeah.
Stagnation. I mean, it could be stagnation. Could be genetic inbreeding. It could be that people have become too dependent on machines. You know, and
they could be resource poor and kind of they couldn't afford to create or innovate.
Yeah,
maybe they're separated from their people, and that's all they've got.
Yeah, or they're a very long-lived or immortal race, and in that case, change is this is funny actually if you think about it.
It's very slow, right?
Mm. Yeah. So change if you're a spacefaring or even time traveling immortal race.
Yeah.
You want as little change as possible because even though you might be immortal, it still takes time to get to from A to B. Even if you've mastered a whole bunch of technologies, right? Wormholes or whatnot, it still would take time to do things and get places. And your civilization would change significantly, potentially, in the time that other people are gone to return to something they just don't even recognize anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility. So they're keeping it artificially statically or artificially static or they have some method of advancing all at the same time. But we haven't seen advancements, so who knows? So they may be long-lived. So, for example, a mayfly lives a day, looks at us, and we don't change at all throughout its entire life. A human being doesn't change at all. In fact, It lumbers very slowly through the world, not changing at all. And the mayfly goes, oh, my, I mean, look at me. I'm going from baby to old age, and this lumbering thing is not changing at all. It's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah, and I made the comment about the pets that you own that only live 10 years or thereabouts, yeah. Right, maybe 20. Yeah. We'll see your kids grow up. They won't really notice much about you if you're an adult. You don't really change, but they go through their whole life cycle in that short amount of time.
Yeah. And I know this is going to give me a lot of hate here.
Go on.
If you look at our relationship with the Abrahamic God,
yes,
right, with the God of Abraham, which then spawned Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And that's a fact. You can hang it in your pipe and smoke it if you want, but it's a fact.
That
relationship is the same as you might have with your cat, except that God, which I don't think is the God, again, you know, I'm a blasphemer, that God is extremely long-lived and guides the Jewish people through generations.
Mm-hmm.
Through cataclysms, protects them, fights on their behalf, kills entire nations for them, drowns pursuing armies for them. Okay? Like a pet. And generations and generations of these followers were born to the one God, because obviously the same God. Must be God. He's been here before I was here. He was my great-grandparents told me about this God. Right? So there's a lot to be said for our perception of reality, right, and how we fit into it. And the truth is, the only thing, and I had this conversation with a friend of ours on Facebook, the only thing we can say with absolute certainty, and we discussed this on Sunday, is that we haven't got the first clue of what is going on anywhere.
That's the best.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. You know? We can't even explain gravity. And what I mean by that is, oh, yeah, well, you drop something on your foot, then it hurts. That's gravity. Yeah, thank you. 10 points. We can't explain how gravity really works or why it is such a comparatively weak force. What do you mean, Mackie? Magnetism beats gravity hands down every time.
Yeah, yeah. It's 10,000x, right?
Yeah. Put a piece of whatever. It has to be magnetized, obviously. Put a piece of iron on the table. Now, what's holding it down, making it not float up into space, is gravity, we say. Okay. You get a magnet, even a weak magnet, it will move that piece of iron against gravity, directly against gravity.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big mystery. Stage left and stage right enter dark energy and dark matter. But we're not going to go there today. So why this huge speech about all these wonderful things? It is about dissecting what we see and hear. If this had happened 20 or even 20, 30 years ago, right? And this guy came on the air, and he was like, and he's like a certified guy, worked here, and we all know he did. And he goes, no, aliens are real, and we got the UFO, we've got this. But they're not UFOs, but now they're spacecraft, they're alien spacecraft. That's what they are, no longer UFO, right? And we've done this, and we've re-engineered it, and they're taking some stuff out of it, and blah, blah, blah. My mind would have been blown. I go, wow! And I tell you what, the world would have equally been, and this had to be before 9/11, by the way, would have been equally gone, wow, what? It would have been the story of the century.
But do you know, Mackie, yep, now, go on.
But look at it now. There's been nothing mentioned. I mean, you have to go, if you go looking for it, okay.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not like it's just coming at, in 10-foot letters everywhere.
I think tomorrow, I think in the next news, 24-hour news cycle, we may see some of the other networks pick it up, like the morning programs and things like that, just to reassure everyone that the world is still the same. But, Mickey, I'm going to say, for the people who haven't followed it along for, you know, for me, it's 50 years I've been following this story.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you that I am not shocked at all, but I've got a friend of mine who sent me videos, and kind friend, nice guy. And he sent me the links to all the videos and you know, wow, the excitement in his voice. And then he started talking about prophets and how that lady from Poland, remember the blind one? There's now, she mentioned something about 2023 and seeing aliens right there. Then I went, wow, okay, that's interesting. I don't think I remember seeing that phrasing, but what then? Why not, right? The surprise to him was all real, all new, all real. And I think he was taking it rather well. For the people who just wanted to bury their hands in the sand, like, oh, all you debunkers out there, bunch of pork chops, I find it difficult to believe that they could still honestly, hand on heart, believe what they'd prattled on about for 50 years, trying to debunk everything. They were on a good wicket debunking stuff. They were on TV shows. They'd be invited as a guest because they were a debunker. And the more they debunked, the bigger their name got. So they were actually riding the gravy train of debunking that way. You know, they could write articles for the papers and things like that. Good on them. How do you feel now, pork chop? Right? So I think, okay, it's interesting. Am I going to sit cross-legged on the roof of my house, you know, like Mars Attacks? Am I? I'm going to wait for the aliens to land and then kill us all? I don't think that's going to happen either. But I'm sure as I'm sitting here that the world is going to keep going. We're not the punch drunk boxer in the ring who's on his last, you know, standing balance, waiting to be struck again. We've been in the washing machine with all the crazy news, the positioning. We've been conditioned to be able to take news of any kind these days without effect.
Without effect. Without
That's right.
effect.
Yes.
We have medicated and food comatosed and uneducated the vast majority of the first world. Not everybody, mind you. And those we haven't done this to, we have made completely dependent upon the system.
Okay.
And the people that are in the third world, well, they, honestly, in this context, they don't even count.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. The vast majority of the human race has been completely disenfranchised, okay? And us here, we who are living in a comparative utopia to most of the other guys.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Have no interest in the deeper mysteries of life. And it pains me greatly that I'm witness to the death of curiosity. Well, it has been beaten out of the institutions. It has been beaten out of science. It has been beaten out of children. And I mean, not literally beaten out, of course. It has been medicated out of people. We've been food raped. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given near food plays havoc.
Food.
I mean, Just think about this for a second, right? I go back. I'm so old. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, as did Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Germany. And I cannot recall, I'm not saying there weren't any, but I cannot recall any children with severe allergies or children that were diagnosed with ADHD and then were given copious amounts of medication. And yeah. People, especially in our town, which was like 10,000 souls, they talked, right? People talk. They know more about you than you do. Okay, so, but the point is, I don't recall it. There was no, my kid's school is a nut-free school. Mm-hmm. It's a nut-free school.
Mm.
Okay? What?
Not it's, the inhabitants, the food source.
Yeah, and within my family and friends, there are many, many children with severe allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Severe. I mean,
yeah.
Horrendous allergies. What happened? I mean, something has been happening over the last 30, 40 years in our food, in our water, the radiation we're exposed to, medication, other substances. I mean, you know, fluoride in the water, that's good for you. It's good for your teeth. No, it's not. It's not. But all of these things are coming together. And the population back in the 40s and 50s, when they were keeping all of this a secret, Dave,
mm-hmm.
would have reacted very differently to any kind of disclosure, in my opinion.
1,000,000%.
Because those people... Yeah. We're enfranchised, you know.
That they were, and we're not. So, no, you and I are, but no, the majority of the people aren't. I'm going to say that the near food experience brought home, when you were talking about that, it brought home a message from my grandmother, who was a lovely grandmother, and the greatest grandmother, not great grandmother. She said, you are what you eat. And for me, that stuck. And it was such a powerful statement. Because right around then, we were seeing the use of DDT. We were seeing the use of formaldehyde. We were seeing all of these new things in our, you know, being the chemists, the excellent chemists we thought we were. We were introducing chemicals, preservatives, colors, sweeteners, you name it, into food to prolong the shelf life and to be able to manufacture things not from the original product anymore. And that is to attempt to make their shelf life a saleable item after a great amount of time. And the more they worked with that, you know, emulsifiers, Mackie, and then we end up with hormones in the chicken and like, what do they call it, feedlot, for in the cattle.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing so much, adding such a lot within 100 years that we've never done before. In the history of humans, we'd never medicated ourselves with so many chemicals. And like now, and don't forget all the tranquilizers and everything, and medicine on its own for ailments, but not to fix the problem, only as an antidote to the symptoms. I mean, as I'm going to say, with all of that, look where we are. I'm with Mackie on this about the allergies are probably born from either pesticides, the chemicals in the food that we consume before we procreate, yes, and especially specifically as males, because we did a show, Becky. We did a show on this, and where seven generations of mice who have been taught, the first generation were taught that, you know, say the color blue was a bad sensation because they were electrocuted when they touched blue. And then seven generations of mice later, they're afraid of blue still, even though the parents were separated at birth from the children, and the children were then raised, had children, not ever seeing blue again, and they kept doing this for seven generations. They stopped there because the program finished. But there is an ability to pass on genetic information that allowed you to survive to the next gen. So if there was genetic information still being passed on, and maybe the thing you loved the most was a fast food outlet that used a chemical from one of the base products that was only in the base product because of the farming or the, you know,
the crops or whatever have, you know, DDT or whatever the source materials are, wasn't directly put in there by the fast food outlet, right? I'm just going with that. And yet you're still passing that on. That's hearsay, but you could be passing that on, allegedly. And that will have some effect. We can't put our head in the sand and say it doesn't.
Look, we can see the effects now. I mean, this is probably the unhealthiest generation of people in many ways that has ever lived. And not only that, also the softest. You can't say anything anymore.
No, that's right.
There's this really interesting saying. Strong men and women, I'm expanding on the saying, create good times. Good times create weak men and women. Weak men and women create hard times. Hard times create strong men and women. Okay, so as an ever-evolving cycle, if you will. And right now, right, after the war, after World War II, where there was a generations of strong men and women, because you had to be to live through that and to live afterwards and rebuild, right? We then had a generation of affluence and well-to-do in the first world, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the third, the fourth, even the fifth generation after living in abundance for so long, we have turned into weak, soft, trophy-holding crybabies for the most part.
Participation award crybabies, Mackie.
Yeah. I mean, in real life, things are not given to you. You know, sometimes you have to actually work for it. And sometimes you have to take what you want, right?
You have to make an effort.
Mm-hmm. It isn't just handed to you on a platter. So we are actively encouraging now, I think, the second generation of people to just, you know, I don't know, do nothing, just be, which of course ties beautifully into the Great Reset. That's the plan. That's the plan. In 1984 and in the Brave New World, two yardsticks for the future.
Mm-hmm.
People were medicated into oblivion, as well as in 1984, terror and uncertainty and fear were used. So we have all of that. All the components in all these dystopian novels are here. We are like the middle of the Venn diagram of these things intersecting.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are, okay? Make no mistake. And we think, no, we're not. Yes, we are, for crying out loud. Newspeak. We have now alternative truth and facts. No, there's only one fact. It's a fact. Either it's a fact or it's not. You can't have an alternative fact. It doesn't work that way. You can't.
You can have an alternate argument, but you can't have a different fact. No.
No, you can have you can't have your own version of a fact. A fact is a fact. This is a banana. Either it's a banana or it's not a banana. Okay, it's that simple. No, it's not a banana. What is it? It's a cherry. No, it's not a cherry.
I'm trying to teach the AI.
In my world, it's a cherry.
Banana.
Very good. It's a cherry.
I've got to say this. So, the generation of folk that you're talking about. And with the Great Reset specifically also in mind. Remember the movie Sleeper with Woody Allen, the way of life of the people in Sleeper, where they just had the orb party, right? And she had art that was terrible and poetry that was also equally terrible. That's kind of what I expect the people in the Great Reset who don't have a job and it's just being paid a living wage because there are no jobs. That is the way of life. There'll be a pleasure orb or something, and you just kind of get together and dress up and go and visit each other. I don't know. But I'm gonna put this out there also. I discovered today that last August in 2022 in Australia, there was a new HR doctrine that is about to be unleashed upon us in this coming financial year. It's when it's being established, I think 45,001. And that I've shared the link with you, Mackie. This is about psychosocial and sociological harm that you can experience in the workplace. And that is equivalent to the dangers of injury, like physical injury, and that the workplace can be found responsible for doing psychosocial and psychological harm upon its employees. Think about that for a minute. If you have ever worked at any place where anyone's ever yelled at you, I've got tough skin, Mickey, I can take it. That's good. Think about the people who don't have tough skin. Think of those people who are currently hurt, mentally hurt, by not using the correct pronoun.
Even if it doesn't reflect directly to them. It's actually a document which I've just opened.
It is.
I want to tell you what those psychosocial hazards
are
here in Australia.
I sent that to you for that reason. There's
a list. Job demands. Job demands, low job control, poor support, lack of role clarity, poor organizational change management, inadequate reward recognition, poor organizational justice, traumatic events and material, remote or isolated work, poor physical environment, violence and aggression, bullying, harassment, including sexual harassment, conflict, or poor workplace relationships and interactions. Just the last one. Just the last one could be applied to virtually anything.
Everything. Every single meeting. Everything. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have not experienced a couple of these. I personally.
Yeah, I haven't experienced a couple of them. But the rest, yeah, pretty much.
But the rest? it's called going to work.
That's right.
I mean,
I'm going to say, I've been in a place whose appraisal system of people is called a 360, right? I know you're probably familiar with the same thing, and people out there listening would be too. And those people who have to endure the 360, I think it's actually a pleasant experience. But I've worked in a place, which I won't name, where 360s elevated a level of paranoia so fierce that everyone was nice to each other all the time. Even your boss, even your boss would say, instead of giving you an order, can you pick up those things or do that? Or I need that on my desk by 5 o'clock. They would say, look, I think there's a thing that I need. I don't know if you're the best person to ask, but if you've got some time, would you mind providing these things?
I can't do it. Stop pressuring me. Stop it.
Oh, my God, the pressure. Right? And you would say, yeah. And the beauty of that was you would volunteer. Sure, I'll do that for you. And there was a mutual respect because I know that I've just agreed to do something that they've not directly asked me, but I knew they were kind of asking. And their 360 on me is going to be always helpful. And I'm going to, my 360 on that person is going to be, oh, they're just so nice. And then HR just goes, what a beautiful work environment. We're going to be a model for other companies. Right? And it all just worked harmoniously. At the end of the day, I'm going to say I loved working in that environment. It's kind of Star Trek-ish, right? Without the yelling or the accusations, right? You did your work. You weren't a slacker. But wow, for them to now have this as a thing that could easily be rorted. I mean rorted. I've seen people go, oh, my back. And then one of my friends was a PI, and he used to go around filming people. Like, he had a van that had a camera, and he'd set the camera up and he'd go knock on the door and goes, look, I'm from the council. They've sent me on my own. I need to measure up the front footpath or the sidewalk, because we're going to do some repairs. Can you help me? And they go, yeah, sure. And they walk out without their cane or anything, and he's tugging on the tape measure, pulling them off balance, and there's not a complaint. And he had it all on camera. Extraordinary what they used to do in the olden days, Mackie, when the world was black and white.
I had a school friend whose father paid for their house with cobalt.
Really?
Oh, wow. It was
crazy.
That was in the good old days when there was no photographic IDs, and there was a guy whose job it was, his own job, he made it himself, to drive to all the 50-odd mailboxes he had all over Sydney to collect his unemployment benefit.
Oh, goodness me.
Because back then they sent it to you. You just give him an address and send it. Yeah. And he was busy. It's not easy to get to 50 mailboxes in a week. Well, think about it, right? You could probably do 5 or 6 in a day, depending how far they are from each other. Oh, that's your day, goodness. Man. That's your day.
Right, so think about how this could equally be rorted by those people, or how many claims there would be just from, I'm going to be nice and say the people would be more susceptible to making a claim because they were truly hurt on the inside because their pronouns were incorrect. I'm not trying to put people down. I really don't. That's not my goal here. My goal is to raise awareness about how these are going to come in, these rules, these laws are going to come in, and how they might be taken advantage of. And certainly for those people who can't field strip a deer or pull apart an AK-47 in 45 seconds, right, and then reassemble it, for those people who aren't doing that and who haven't done military service, I think it's going to be pretty tough. If the only thing in the whole world they want more is electricity to charge their phone with and have the internet, I think we're going to have a real hard time.
We're so there. The thing is this, I've been thinking about this a lot, right? And let's say for argument, I'm just spitballing here. I know there's not much time left, but let's say there's this aggressive alien race. They're pretty close to what we are, right? They're bipedal. They're very warlike. They're developmentally maybe, let's say, 500 years ahead of us, whatever.
Sure.
Right? But still, you can recognize all the tech. And they come here, but they're really warlike, right? They're real warrior types and you know, rough it all up, and there's a lot of bullying going on. And they come here. They land somewhere in America or in Australia, and ultimately, you know, they're going to look around. Yeah, this will take a weekend. We'll conquer this place in a weekend. Thank you very much.
The whole world.
There's just nothing. Nothing stopping us. Oh, there's the music. Jeez, that was quick. Look, thank you so much, everybody, for letting us into your homes. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. This has been Plato's Cave. Stay tuned, please, for whatever comes next. And most of all, be safe!
Listening to Revolution Radio.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rips, I think. Thank you. Welcome.